The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. No one who believes in him will be condemned, but whoever refuses to believe is condemned already, because he has refused to believe in the name of God's only Son. On these grounds is sentence pronounced, that though the light has come into the world, men have shown they prefer darkness to the light, because their deeds were evil. And indeed, everybody who does wrong hates the light and avoids it, for fear his actions should be exposed. But the man who lives by the truth comes out into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he does is done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. History and the present day are full of events that illustrate one part of today's Gospel. The Nazi Holocaust, or the Soviet genocides, or apartheid in South Africa, or the slave trade, which is well and alive today, ethnic and cultural cleansing, that we saw some of that cultural going on last week on our screens in Iraq, abortion and assisted suicide, the horrors of terrorism and violence and war, just a few examples of human cruelty and the attraction to evil. And add to that the strange situation when we spend an enormous amount of energy and time and talent trying to preserve life at both extremes, so that in the infertile are helped to have children, the claim that everyone has a right to have a child, and yet abort millions of children, and complex diseases of age that we resist and challenge, and yet when it all becomes too much for you, then we'll help to finish you off. But as Jesus says in the Gospel, human beings have shown that they prefer darkness to light because their deeds were evil. Now, all that I've mentioned so far, and much of it, are based on lies. The lies that one person can be inferior to another simply because of their race or their color or their creed or their political persuasion, or simply because they're defenseless or inconvenient or a burden. And of course, Satan, the devil, is the father of lies. We do see a darkness and an evil on a colossal scale. And many in the Western world wonder what to do, but don't necessarily see where the answer lies or the need for the right answer, which is a savior. To be human is to be involved in the struggle of good and evil. That's what we always begin Lent with, the temptation, the struggle. We know that some of it is without us in the sense of it's elsewhere, as some of the things I mentioned, but we know too, within our own selves, as that inner struggle, when we can choose the lesser good. Times when we've been selfish, when we've been unkind, when we've been cruel, when we've done what we know is evil and wrong. An ongoing human struggle. But as Newman reminds us, when all was sin and shame, and second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. Because the good news, in the midst of all the darkness there, is that darkness will not win. St. John, who is the one that answers the basic question, why did Jesus come? What was his work? What was his mission? What does he do for us? In a word, saves us. Salvation. As you know, if there's two great words, creation, because God creates, and then redemption, which is what we need, salvation is what the Redeemer comes to bring. And at the beginning of John's Gospel, which we celebrate always at Christmas, that light, he speaks about the light that has begun to shine in Jesus, the light that's come into the world, a light that's in the dark, and a light that darkness could not and cannot overpower. That theme of light and darkness is all shot through in John's Gospel, but there's always the assurance that God has triumphed over death in the life, passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. And he reminds us that God creates everything. That's the creation in the beginning. The creation, the creator, creates everything good. So therefore, evil has no inner power of its own. It always depends on trying to ruin, trying to bring down, trying to spoil whatever is good. But since sin and evil come into the world, God loved us with so much love that he sent his Son. Christ chose to experience all the darkness that evil brings into human life. So he prays on his last night, the agony in the garden, the betrayal of his friends, the suffering, the death. But out of love for us, Christ, as it were, looked into the darkness and didn't flinch. That's made clear in one of those most famous verses in the Bible. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. Or as the second reading had it, God loved us with so much love, he was generous with his mercy and saves us. And as the first reading had it, as I said, when all was sin and shame, when the people had turned their backs on God until they ended up in exile. And where were they in exile? In Babylon. And where is Babylon today? It's called Iraq. And God used not a Jew to save the people or one of his prophets. He used Cyrus, king of Persia. Where is Persia today? Iran. Places that we hear still on the news in our own days. There's a sense in which, of course, has anything changed? Yes, it has. Because into it, since the day of the first reading, God has sent his Son. So that when we're at our lowest point, God says he's reaching down to us. In the Old Testament, it was in Cyrus on that particular occasion. In St. Paul speaks, when we were dead in our sins, he brought us to life in Christ Jesus. But he doesn't force that upon us. He respects the free will that we have, the choice to cooperate with God's invitation or not to cooperate is ours. And it's in freedom that we accept or reject that life. And the church can seem at different times in our own time that many people are rejecting or walking away from that invitation. They may not see it as rejection, but where are they? All of you know, often with your own children, with your own grandchildren, even with your own great-grandchildren, few are here. Who, why, who can say? People are often troubled by the question, how can a loving God condemn anybody? Why does God allow the things like that cyclone that's hit the island in the South Pacific? And the answer is here. God doesn't condemn. God loves. He just loves us with an overwhelming love. And that's what comes out. And so that if we accept or reject Jesus, he doesn't do the condemning. We do it ourselves. That's why the shrewd observation in John's Gospel is that anybody who hates the light of, anybody who does wrong hates the light and therefore avoids it. Light hides and hurts the sore eye. It's only to be expected that those who have fallen away hate the light of Christ's church, which is why we're all subject to ridicule and criticism. Some of it rightly, some of it, of course, wrongly. But we're here, and Christ invites us, and he invites us to come and live with him in the light, living a full sacramental life in the church, because every sacrament is an encounter with the risen light, the light that cannot be overcome. And that's why when we get to Easter, and as you may remember, you're familiar with me, that all the sacraments flow from the Easter mystery. And that light, as it were, that comes from the tomb on Easter day, never put out. That's the eternal light and the eternal life. And we share that as we come to that, as I say, full sacramental life of the church. And Father Robert Barron, who we're following in our Lent course, it says, often one key question to ask anybody is, what or who do you worship? That's the heart of all questions. Well, we worship the God who loves us so much that he sent his Son to suffer and die for us. And that's why week by week he invites us to true worship in the sacrifice he offers, the Mass.